out to eat, so that's why we're a little short here, but I think we'll get started anyway. We got the legislative audit report, the oversight of workers' compensation. Mr. Nobles and your staff, please come forward and talk to us about the audit.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. For the record, my name is Jim Nobles. I'm the legislative auditor, and with me is Deborah Parker-Junod, who's going to make our presentation. She was the manager of our evaluation. Mr. Chairman and members, I think as all of you certainly know, workers' compensation is an insurance coverage program that is required and regulated by the state. It is a program designed to get workers back to work as quickly as possible when they have suffered a work-related injury or illness. Workers' compensation is obviously important to individual workers and their families, but it is also important to maintaining stable businesses and a productive economy. Therefore, having a well-functioning workers' compensation system is a common interest. It is a place where management and labor, as well as the public and private sectors, need to come together and work on this common interest. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is the primary state agency responsible for ensuring that our workers' compensation system is working well. First, the department needs to make sure that those businesses that are required to carry workers' compensation insurance actually do so. Second, the department needs to ensure that insurance companies are processing and paying claims quickly and appropriately. Third, where there are disputes, the department needs to provide methods of resolution that are fair and as expeditious as possible. Overall, we found that Minnesota's workers' compensation system is working reasonably well, but we also found room for improvement. For example, we think the department does need to do a better job in ensuring that businesses are carrying workers' compensation insurance, and we think the state's dispute resolution process needs to be reformed and simplified. Some improvements can occur by the actions of the Department of Labor and Industry, but others will require your support and, in some cases, your action. Mr. Chairman, I want to note that in conducting our evaluation, we received the full and complete cooperation of the department, and I want to thank Commissioner Swigum and his staff. We also appreciate that Commissioner Swigum has been very receptive and open to our findings and recommendations. And now, Mr. Chairman, if I could, I'd like to call on Ms. Junod to give you a few more details about what we found and what we're recommending. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the committee.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. For the record, I'm Deb Junod with the Legislative Auditor's Office. And before I get started, I'd like to recognize the other two members of the evaluation team, Sarah Roberts and Dan Jacobson, who are sitting right behind me here. Their analytical work is really at the heart of our findings and recommendations in the report. Let me start with just a little bit of background. As Mr. Noble said, workers' compensation is a form of insurance that's required and regulated by the state. And the lead agency in that oversight responsibility is the Department of Labor and Industry, or DOLLI, as I'll refer to them in shorthand. Coverage is required of virtually all employers in Minnesota, including public sector employers and private sector employers. There are some exceptions, like family farms and sole proprietorships, but the obligation for workers' compensation is broad. There were about 127,000 workers' compensation policies written in 2007, and another 1,200 or so organizations are currently registered as self-insured for workers' compensation. Benefits go to employees for work-related injuries or illness. Work-related injury can be anything caused, aggravated, or accelerated by employment. It includes traumatic injuries, gradual injuries like carpal tunnel syndrome, and occupational diseases. Workers' comp is a big system. There were about 120,000 claims filed in 2007, and for those claims, the estimated benefit costs will be about $952 million. And most of the day-to-day responsibility for workers' compensation rests in the hands of employers, insurers, and the employees who make claims. Of those 120,000 claims in 2007, for example, about 87% are handled with little or any involvement by the state. Only claims that involve serious injury that would be more than involving more than 3 days of lost time from work or a permanent disability, those are the claims that actually get reported to the Department of Labor and Industry and are the subject of more active oversight. Looking at what the state's involvement is in workers' compensation and the scope of our evaluation, we focused on just four areas. The first is the state's obligation to ensure that employers have workers' compensation coverage. The second is the state's obligation to obtain repayment from uninsured employers when benefits have been paid on their behalf from the Special Compensation Fund. We looked at the Department of Labor and Industry's broad obligation to ensure compliance with claim processing laws and rules. Again, that's related mostly to that subset of claims that get reported, where information gets reported directly to the department. And finally, we looked at the state's role and ability to help employees, employers, and insurers resolve disputes. So there are other aspects of state involvement in workers' compensation, but this is what our evaluation focused on. Let me run through each of those four areas with you now. I'll turn first to that area of state responsibility related to holding employers accountable for having workers' compensation coverage. For this function, the Department of Labor and Industry has a small team of investigators. The primary source of their leads for investigation is a list of canceled insurance policies that they receive each month with employers who have policies have lapsed because of non-payment of premium. That's about 200 a month. We did identify some areas for improvement in their process for investigating these employers. First, they've had a backlog of investigations that resulted from a decline in staffing of investigators. In 2000, they had 6.5 staff assigned to investigations and completed about 700 investigations of employers. In 2007, there were 4.5 staff, and they completed under 300. There's limited use of automated data matching techniques to find particularly new employers who don't have workers' compensation coverage. And one window of opportunity here is the unemployment insurance system. In Minnesota, most employers have to have both workers' compensation coverage and unemployment insurance coverage as well. So DEED, the Department of Employment and Economic Development, has all of the data on employers registered for the unemployment insurance system, and we're encouraging the department to pursue some automated data matching with workers' comp employers to that list to find those who are at least in one system but missing workers' comp insurance. There are other opportunities for automated data matching, but we think this is going to be a way that they can improve their visibility in this area. We did take a look at whether penalties were applied appropriately when an employer lacked insurance coverage, but the data weren't sufficient for us really to determine whether those penalties were being applied in the amount that we would have expected. The second area that we looked at is the Department of Labor and Industry's involvement with the Special Compensation Fund. As you know, that fund, the revenues for that fund come from an assessment on insurers and self-insurers. And when an employer doesn't have insurance but one of their employees gets hurt, that employee's claim will go to the Department of Labor and Industry. Well, they will determine whether or not it's compensable. If it is, they'll pay the benefits out of the Special Compensation Fund, and then that employer who was uninsured is obligated to repay the amount of the benefits that have been paid on their behalf plus a 65% penalty. So you would expect 165% to come back after that claim has been handled. Our ability to assess top-to-bottom accountability in this area was really limited by the record-keeping associated with it. Dolly's billing records are incomplete. The information on the claims paid from the Special Compensation Fund are in one system over here. Information on reimbursement arrangements for that employer in another information system over here, not easily matched, and the department doesn't routinely look at that continuum of what was paid out, what arrangements have we made for repayment, and how much of that has come back in the door. We, thanks to the team sitting behind me, did a match of those data systems. And what we found is that only 38% of claims paid had a record of a reimbursement arrangement in the system that we could find. When we looked at those that we could find the reimbursement agreement, getting those dollars back in the door in terms of actual payment is a problem. Over the 10 years that we looked at, known repayments from those claims accounted for about 17% of the benefits that had been paid out on those employers' behalf. So instead of the 165%, we're talking 17% in that area. So the department has indeed been more aggressive since 2003 in trying to obtain reimbursement from employers, and they also have information system upgrades planned to help address some of these issues. But there's significant work to be done to improve accountability in this area. The third area of oversight that we looked at is Dolly's broad obligation to ensure compliance with processing of claims, making sure that forms are filed on time, that benefit amounts are calculated from an employee's wages correctly, and that those are paid on time. And we found that they have a fairly extensive system for this kind of routine monitoring of the claims. They have computer algorithms that look at all of the data and forms that come into the system to look for example, if a report of injury came in, then we know that about 2 weeks later there should be a determination of liability related to that injury. And it will check to make sure that form came in on time, and if not, it will kick out that claim for further review. So anomalies that are found during all of that computerized screening go to auditors who audit the entire claim, making sure that benefits have been calculated appropriately, paid on time, etc. And there are other staff that review cases for assessment of penalties. We did find, though, that the department could expand its compliance activities in certain areas. And I'll describe this as compliance research, where we thought the data, when we looked at kind of a system analysis of what was happening with the claims data, there were questions raised. And for example, when we looked at denials of liability, a significant portion of claims that were denied in 2006 were later paid, which to us called into question how appropriate those original denials were. They could be completely appropriate. New information came forward. The insurer changed its mind and began paying benefits. Or it could be an indicator that the insurer did not do an appropriate investigation initially, or it could be evidence that the insurer willfully denied that claim when they should have paid it. So we think the department needs to expand its compliance activities in areas like this. And finally, we looked at the state's role in dispute resolution. And a dispute in workers' compensation can be related to any aspect of the claim, a dispute over primary liability, whether that injury was compensable or not. It can be a dispute over medical or vocational rehabilitation services. For example, should an employee be able to get an MRI following a shoulder injury? And it could be a dispute over discontinuance of benefits as well. And overall, we found the dispute resolution process to be overly complex, litigious, and a source of significant frustration to those who participate in it. Right now, I'll refer you to page 55 of the blue cover report. If you have that, there's a chart that looks like this.
I had that
page. Active here, people.
I flagged that page about an hour ago.
Look at you. There you go.
That's the process,
This actually is a very simplified portrayal of what the state's dispute resolution.
This is simple?
This is the simplified version, and it took us about 5 weeks to come up
with. Page 55, take a look at it. It's
a chart that everyone could agree with, and there are some who say it's really oversimplified. For example, if you look at the box that says OAH Administrative Conference, there are actually three different proceedings that we encapsulated in that one box rather than having separate ones. So this is what the state's process looks like. You can see that jurisdiction is shared by the Department of Labor and Industry and the Office of Administrative Hearings. And the path that a dispute takes through this system depends on a number of different factors. It depends on the form that was used to register the dispute. For example, if I had a medical dispute over an MRI and I used a medical request form, it would be routed one way. If it was involved in a claim petition, it might be routed a different way. So the path through this process depends on the form, the nature of the dispute, the willingness of the parties to negotiate. For example, if they take advantage of mediation, which is an optional step in the dispute resolution process. Now, as I said, we had surveyed workers. We actually surveyed thousands of workers' comp claimants in Minnesota. And for the most part, most of them were satisfied with their workers' compensation experience. But there was a subset of respondents who had much more negative experiences. And they generally were those claimants who were involved in a dispute. They found the system to be overly complex, took too long, and they doubted the fairness of the settlements and the resolution of those disputes. So I can also testify to the fact that there are workers who are definitely lost in this process. As I said, we sent out thousands of surveys, and I was the phone contact on all of those and received dozens and dozens of phone calls. I received medical case files, a lot of inquiries from people looking for help in the system, not knowing where to go or what to do. For some insight on how the state's dispute resolution system might be improved, we looked at an alternate system that's allowed in Minnesota law. It's called the Union Construction Workers' Compensation Program, and it's been operating since about 1997. And established through collective bargaining by Minnesota's construction employers and labor unions. And now I'll refer you to page 61 of your report, to the chart that looks like this, much easier to navigate. This is the dispute resolution process associated with the union construction program. It's far simpler, three stages, everyone follows the same path, linear. We did some additional analysis looking at benefit costs associated with the union construction program and similar types of claims handled through the state system and found that the benefit costs for the union construction program are lower than for the state, likely because the workers in the union construction program are getting back to work quicker. All right, so we think that this union construction model has opportunity. There's opportunity for broader application of this model in the state. We make a number of recommendations in the report. If you look at page 77, that's a complete list. I know I'm making you do a lot of work here. But page 77 is a complete list of recommendations in the report. Let me just highlight a couple of the key recommendations that we made to the Department of Labor and Industry. We suggest that they be more aggressive in enforcing mandatory coverage laws. For example, pursuing use of the unemployment insurance data to do some more automated data matching. We recommend that they consider increasing their investigative staff in this area as well. We also think that the department must improve its data and information systems and processes related to reimbursements from uninsured employers when benefits have been paid on their behalf from the special compensation fund. We recommend that they work with the Office of Administrative Hearings to streamline the dispute resolution system and also try to facilitate broader use, as I said, of this union construction model, either helping employers and unions in other industries carve out their employees into that system, and also whether we think they should study how it could be used for the state of Minnesota as an employer with state of Minnesota's unionized workforce. To the legislature, the most important recommendation in the report directed right at the legislature is that we think there should be an ombudsperson for injured workers. As I said, there are lots of workers, employees in this system who are lost, and they're overwhelmed. The dispute resolution staff at both Labor and Industry and Office of Administrative Hearings need to be impartial in their roles. And we think there's a need for someone who's going to take more of the employee's point of view and help with problem solving. So an ombudsman for injured workers. There are plenty of models in state government already for this type of position. There's a taxpayer advocate over at the Department of Revenue.
Why do we have to do this by law? Do we have to do this by law?
The others are established in law, Mr. Chair, the rest of the state.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
We ask that the legislature support information system improvements at the Department of Labor and Industry. I touched on that a little bit today, but there are a number of specific examples in the report where some information system improvements are really going to help with the efficient and effective administration of workers' compensation. Start thinking about applying that union construction model to the state of Minnesota and its unionized workforce. Our explicit recommendation is to Labor and Industry to study how that might happen, but it wouldn't hurt for the legislature to start thinking about that option as well. And finally, you can assist by tracking Dolly's progress in implementing the rest of our recommendations. So with that, the quick and dirty overview of workers' compensation, be happy to answer any questions, and the commissioner is here. I'll also point to the commissioner's letter, which is at the end of the report, page 79 at the end, but he's here to answer questions as well.
Mr. Chairman, if I might just address your question too, because, you know, the reason we make this as a legislative recommendation, because we think this function really needs the authority of law in terms of defining the position of this person within the department, because as Ms. Janod said, the commissioner and his staff really have to stay impartial and independent, but we're recommending a person who would take more of an advocacy role for a worker that, as Ms. Janod said, is lost in the system. And so I think for you to define the authority and responsibility of that position, and frankly the independence of that position, although it would exist within the department, it will need some degree of independence as these other ombudspersons have in their various departments. So that's why we make it as a legislative recommendation, although there are undoubtedly some things the department could do on its own. But this is one that we really do think would work better if it has legal definition.
Okay. Questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Scheid?
Mr. Chairman, if I might, and I'm just looking up and I see that this union construction workers program was something that we did statutorily to begin with, and that it could be used beyond the construction industry apparently as well. Okay. Can you quantify the difference between how many claims, maybe it's in here and I've missed that, through the UCWCP program, how many claims went that way? Because I would guess a lot of claims would have to do with the construction industry. I have no idea where most of the claims come from, but I would think it would be a lot. And then how many claims go through the state's system, through the department?
Senator Metz and Senator Scheid, I'm not actually positive what the ratio is. The construction industry is a significant user of workers' compensation, but there are construction workers who are still in the state system as well. So the union construction program is limited to those employers and unions that have agreed to participate. This past year, there were about 22,000 eligible workers covered under the employers and unions involved in that workers' comp system, that union construction system. There's a little description of it in Chapter 1 of the report on page 12. So about 20 construction trade unions, 280 contractors employing, excuse me, roughly 15,000 union construction workers.
But, Mr. Chairman,
that's not claims.
That's just
claims,
how many
right.
employees are part of that.
And do we know what share of claims the union
wonder.
Construction? Well,
I just wondered if there were some correlation between numbers.
Yeah. It's a significant system.
Senator Scoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if we're moving on to a different subject, my question doesn't have to do with the relationship of the worker to the workers or that worker's compensation part, but the part of an employer to their insurance company and the establishment of modification rates. And is there any, did you look at all as to whether the state should have any role in that? And the reason I asked this question is it was a relatively small employer. He had an injury. The total medical bill was $5,600. His modification rate went from 0.93 to 1.08. He more than paid that entire claim in his first year of insurance. And when I was advocating for my constituent and I went to the department and they said, well, yeah, this and that doesn't sound reasonable. You need to go to the insurance company. And they just said, well, that's our formula, and that's it. Is there anything that we should do to kind of see if those modification rates are reasonable or the formulas make sense, or is anybody looking at that at all?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, yep. We did not look at rate-setting issues. The Minnesota Workers' Compensation Insurers Association collects data from private insurers and information about claim rates and that kind of thing. That data is what's used to set the mod rates. We did not get involved in looking at that.
Mr. Chair, do you think there's a reason that the state should take a look at that? I mean, have you didn't you consider it at all?
No. Mr. Chair.
That could be another audit.
Chairman, I hear one.
You're on to something.
Oh,
you're on to something, Senator Scoy. I think you're on to something. Could be another day's discussion. Look at that. There could be a lot of, yeah.
And Mr. Chair, I just ran into a dead end where the insurance company just said, well, that's our formula, and this is what it does to them, and there's nothing you can do. And the reason it was important for this business is they're a contract, and one of the companies that they contract with had a policy that if your modification rate was over one, they wouldn't hire you. So they lost 50% of their business because of a $5,600 medical claim. I mean, it didn't make any sense at all, and it was so.
Mr. Nobles.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Scoy, we will put that down on our list of possible things to look at. I think it will shift us also over more to the Department of Commerce as well, rather than the Department of Labor and Industry. And I know that there have been some disputes. We've looked in a very narrow way, not through an evaluation, but because of some allegations that came to us about a particular company and how well the Department of Commerce was regulating it. So, but it will go on our list.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Good. Thanks for bringing it up.
Mr. Chairman.
Any questions of these folks? Senator Tomasoy.
Chairman.
Tomasoni.
Give me the one more time the take on the ombudsman for the injured worker. How does it work? I walked in a little late. And
it doesn't work yet, but how do you
work? But is there one?
You're trying to get
Chair,
it to work.
Senator Tomasoni, there are various models already in law for ombudsperson.
But do we have one?
We do not have one for injured
and
workers.
And who advocates for the injured worker? Then?
And we, correct. There is not such a position right now that exists. We're recommending that position be established in law with the authority of law.
And the idea is that that the negotiations are fair and that the injured worker is represented. That's the idea?
The ombudsperson is a problem-solving assistant. That's how ombudspersons in revenue work over at Department of Human Services as well. Labor and Industry's dispute resolution staff need to be impartial in trying to help workers and employers navigate through disputes.
But we
found that there were employees who needed further assistance. There were workers who needed further assistance and would go to an ombudsperson for help from their point of view.
And I don't have my glasses on right now, but I think it says here something about, in Commissioner Sligum's letter, about compromising our neutrality. And the ombudsman is not there to compromise neutrality. It's to make sure that there is neutrality and that everything is treated fairly. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, yes, that is correct. And we would expect that an ombudsperson, if that office were established, it would be outside of the Workers' Compensation Division at Labor and Industry, perhaps as a direct report to the commissioner. At the Department of Revenue, the taxpayer advocate reports directly to the commissioner. There are other models in the state where the ombudsperson is actually a separate office outside of the department. That would be a little more complicated, I think, to establish. So,
and Mr. Chairman, if I could just add, I think what we're really envisioning here is somebody that helps a citizen, an injured worker, find information, know who to talk to maybe understand the system. This does not mean that the ombudsperson would become the legal advocate, replace a lawyer, for example, in terms of legal representation. But as Ms. Jinnod said, I mean, we encountered people who literally just seemed lost in this maze, and they needed some guidance on what the next steps were, maybe help to understand information about the process. I think one of the things that was somewhat concerning to us is that, although, as I think we all would agree, workers' compensation was in design from the beginning supposed to be a somewhat of a no-fault system that isn't litigious, isn't full of a lot of conflict, and not a lot of lawyers, therefore. But what we found is that because of the complexity, when disputes arise, most people end up having to hire a lawyer. Now, just getting information and understanding the system might alleviate that need to some degree. We'll see. No promises, but at least it's worth the effort, we think, to help some of the people that we had very direct contact with by phone call, by mail, who literally were looking for somebody and hoping that we would be that somebody who could just help them understand this process.
Mr. Chairman, is the reason they're hiring lawyers because they don't understand the system, or because the system is not cooperating with them to actually get them their benefits? Or is it a combination of several things, or is it because the insurance company doesn't want to pay? I don't know.
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, I think there are a combination of reasons. Part, it's just a complex system. Issues having to do with the value of the claim as a dispute goes through the system, for example, it may be settled with a lump sum type settlement, and the valuation of that claim is something beyond, you know, the understanding of most individual workers, and so a lawyer would be involved in that. Attorneys are only required at a hearing at the Office of Administrative Hearings. It's optional for an employee to have one in other phases of alternative dispute resolution. But I think most of the staff at Labor and Industry and the union type people that we spoke to said they recommend that any worker who has a dispute gets an attorney. One difference for there, if I go back to that union construction program, is that they really encourage no attorneys in the early stage of their dispute resolution process, where they try to get everybody, the direct people, the claim adjuster, the employee, maybe the employer representative around the table, to resolve the dispute without getting adversarial. And the employers and unions and their insurers that participate in that union program, they buy into that. So they are kind of psychologically and philosophically in the right place of being less adversarial. And that, again, may contribute to quicker resolution, lower cost, and quicker back to work.
On that dispute resolution with the unions, do they, I don't know exactly how it works, are they able to bring along like a business agent or somebody to advocate for them or talk
Mr.
for them?
Mr. Chair, they certainly could. They certainly could.
I don't know if they could, or are they doing it? See, they might have that, what is equivalent to an ombudsman, you know, in that workers' compensation program, where they have somebody speaking for them or helping them through the process, where in the other area,
Mr. Chair,
you need that person, you know.
Our understanding is that, particularly in that early facilitation phase of dispute resolution, the workers are representing themselves. So they wouldn't have a business agent with them, although they certainly could. And they could also have an attorney at that point. Attorneys are only required in the union system at arbitration.
We got to keep those attorneys working, too, don't we?
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, we do a good job.
Mr. Chairman. One more.
Shade, are you at last?
Mr. Chairman, we do a good job.
Like the one more attorney question.
One more attorney question. Go ahead.
Now, we capped the attorney's fees in law, right? Is it $13,000?
Correct.
And did any of your people say the attorney stopped trying after they got their $13,000?
Let's stop trying.
Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, we heard a lot of attorney stories. and
not till 3 o'clock.
That's right. I should have brought my log of all the phone calls. It's about that high. We heard different things about incentives that attorneys have. For example, adding on, a dispute may have started with something small, but the point that an attorney got involved, a lot of other issues got added on. As you know, the attorney's fee in an indemnity claim is a proportion of the settlement. And so the bigger the settlement, bigger the fee. But we didn't do any analytical work looking at attorney's fees or cases to understand how that incentive process might be working or not. So a lot of anecdotal information about that, but nothing factual from us.
Okay. Further question? I think we'll hear from
Mr. Chairman
Latz at this point.
I'm sorry, I missed much of the report, but I did notice in here it talked about the impact of staff reductions within the department. Maybe the commissioner can respond to this as well. This has been a problem for the last 5-6 years anyway, as we've been dealing with tough budgets, and we're asking the agencies to take cuts in staffing as a result, and this is a very real consequence of that. I mean, the extent the agencies exist to do good work and important work for the people of Minnesota, if you don't have the people to do it, it doesn't get done. And in this case, it's the injured workers that end up suffering, or the other employers that are part of the system that aren't paying into the system that they should be. So.
I think that's an excellent point. I mean, we're here cutting the heck out of the department, then we expect them to, be right on top of everything when they cut about 18-20% of their staff in the last 2-3 years. And,
Mr. Chair, if I could interject, Workers' Compensation Administration at the Department of Labor and Industry is actually funded from the Special Compensation Fund.
Yeah, we know that, but
to make sure that
but it's all still money, but we could we'll find out. We'll get to hear from.
Yeah, then why the staffing cuts? Maybe that's
the commissioner will be able to maybe tell us how he can, if he wants to improve in a couple of these areas that they talked about, and then tell us about the
Mr. Chair.
The cuts to Senator. Was that Kimsey? Senator Kimsey, did you?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I had to step out for a little bit partway through the conversation here, but I want to take us back to the uninsured employers portion of this, and you talked about that the billing records being incomplete and that they're only getting the commitment on about 38% of the claims and only 17% of those that we're getting actually money back from those employers. Can you put a dollar amount on that for us? What are we looking at as far as the amount, the level of dollars that are being paid out in claims that relate to that only 17%
sure.
being paid back?
Let me, hang on, I'm flipping to my crib notes here. From the Special Compensation Fund overall, there have been, over the 10 years that we looked at, 1998 to 2007, there were about 1,200 claims worth $28 million in benefits paid out associated with those claims. When you start narrowing down to the number of records out of that 1,200 where we could find information, we ultimately could, we had 285 out of that 1,200 where we could match a reimbursement agreement with the claim benefits paid. So for that universe of 285, there were $11.7 million in benefits paid from the Special Compensation Fund. $10.4 million of that was in some kind of reimbursement agreement, either that the employer agreed through negotiations to pay or that a judge ordered them to pay. So $10.4 million was in the agreements, and $2 million had been collected to date. So that $2 million is 17% of $11.7 million in benefits and 19% of the settlement amount that had been reached.
Thank you.
Senator Sparks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for having this hearing. I want to thank the legislative auditor for this report. It was very helpful and a nice presentation. In fact, I think that we have some very good recommendations to the legislature, and I think I'm going to visit with Mr. Fuller shortly after the meeting to get some things drafted. Can you help me just understand, though, especially in that dispute resolution, was a lot of the frustration from the workers in that time frame? Does the injured worker receive any kind of benefit whatsoever during that time?
Mr. Chair, Senator Sparks, they might be. It depends on the nature of the dispute. If the nature of the dispute was over initial liability, primary liability, then no. If the dispute were something over just a medical procedure, they may be getting other benefits, but it's just that one specific piece that's under dispute. So it really depends. And the duration, you know, how long it takes to resolve that dispute depends on a lot of different factors. There's some information in the report. If you look at, let's see, I'm scanning along, page 58, page 59, there's some information here about how long it takes for certain kinds of disputes to get resolved. It's that we don't know a lot about whether, you know, those workers were getting nothing. We did include in our survey some questions to workers about their economic losses while they were trying to get their dispute resolved, and we did have people reporting that they lost their homes and they lost their cars waiting to get their dispute resolved, waiting to get benefits. That's a small portion of the population. You know, as I said, most workers in this system and most that we heard from were satisfied. Their claims got handled. They got back to work. Their bills got paid. But there is this subset that we're very concerned about.
Okay, maybe it's, we'll get the commissioner up here now and then. Welcome, Commissioner Swigum, and you have a highway helper there, and we know we'll get your name in a minute, okay?
That's fine.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have with me Assistant Commissioner Patricia Todd.
Oh, yes, I know who's Todd.
Who knows a yeah. lot where I know a little. So
okay, well, you're on my very right honest. Good. Thank you. Proceed.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here and be part of this presentation of the legislative auditor and respond. The response will be very, very simple, very direct, and very quick. We're in harmony. We at the department are very, very much in harmony and in tune with Mr. Nobles and his staff and what they have found, what they have recommended. In fact, Mr. Chairman, we are so much in harmony with it, what they have found, that we plan on using them to help our Workers' Compensation Advisory Council, which you know we work through in the workers' comp area, maybe come forward with some of these significant recommendations. And because of that, we actually asked Mr. Nobles, where did he leave?
Over here.
Oh, well, he went to my left, to try to move up this hearing the best we could. Our Workers' Compensation Advisory Council, by the way, meets next Monday, I believe it is. And that will probably be the final day that they will meet before we make some recommendations to you in the legislature. We hope that the reform will be significant. You all understand that there's lots of interests that are involved in workers' compensation. Let me refer back to the two most important and the impartiality that we in the department have to run, and that's for the injured worker and the business that pays the premium. We need to be impartial. Between those two most important stakeholders, and Mr. Chairman, as you know, there are tens of other stakeholders, all constituents of yours, all special interests members, all that maybe will get your ear at some time or another. But as we try to bring forward the reform through the WCAC in harmony with the legislative auditor, understand that sometimes those special interests might not like that reform. And I just need you to be aware of that.
Commissioner, I think most of the members know, but tell them about the makeup of that, the board, and
okay.
Who's on it, how many people, and where they come from, the union represent in the business community.
Mr. Chairman, established in 1992 was the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council by statute. There are six members of labor. There are six members of business on that board. We do have four ex officio legislators that sit
Thank
with
you.
Us. Senator Gimsey be one of those from the Republican side of the Senate. Senator Bach from
Who's
the Democratic majority side of the
busy
Senate.
Right now.
We have Representative Mike Nelson and Representative Bob Gunther. All four of those sit on our advisory council as ex officio
members. They show
members.
Up? Does Gimsey show up at the
Actually,
show?
He does. Because we call him, we push him pretty hard. Gimsey has been very, very good at showing up. Senator Bach has been excellent at being there and being part of the hearings and the testimony and the information we bring forward from our from our committees. The two representatives, Representative Nelson has been there, I think, 100% of the time, if I remember correctly. They've been very, very active members there, even though, Mr. Chairman, they don't get to vote. They don't get to vote. It's the six members of business, six members of labor that will vote on a bill to bring before you.
You'll get the bill by probably next get it to us by Tuesday or something, or Monday or Tuesday.
Mr. Chairman, we won't get it to you by Tuesday because it takes some time in drafting, although we have made recommendations over the last year to the WCAC. They've given us a nod on some things, some of maybe the less controversial issues. We have begun initial drafting. We've even drafted, Mr. Chairman, some of the things that are more controversial on the happenstance on the hope that maybe they will come forward and make a recommendation. But it's going to take some drafting time. We will have it to you, Mr. Chairman, by the middle of March.
One of the finest things we've done around here in a long time was that, in my opinion, was to create that board. I mean, years ago, every dispute in the world would come before the legislature, the Senate, the House, and fighting back and forth and 150,000 deals, you know, and then somebody, it wasn't me, had this idea to let you guys go over there in the corner and fight it out, you know, and then come back with compromises. And it, in my opinion, it's working pretty well.
And we try to keep that controversy away from you, Mr. Chairman,
That's,
if we can.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if my memory is correct, and it may not be correct, I think we have to give some recognition to the state of Wisconsin. I think they began a board before we did. And that might be hard for us to do, to give some recognition to Wisconsin. But I think they did.
We don't have a good recognition. I think it was my initiative. Good idea.
Mr. Chairman, maybe they put South St. Paul on the other side of the river. Then.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, if I could respond again, we are in great harmony with the legislative auditor and his staff, who I think did a very, very fine and a very, very good job of assessing our workers' compensation system. A system, of course, Mr. Chairman, that is, we need to deal with impartiality. It can be very, very confrontational. You all have received letters from either business persons or persons who work who have been treated unfairly in the system. I guarantee you, every one of you has received a letter from probably many constituents on both sides of the issue. We need to deal with the best impartiality we can dealing with your constituents on both sides. Maybe, Mr. Chairman, before I make some general comments, I'd like to go around the room and do a response very, very quickly to the questions which were asked. First of all, Senator Scheid, and I think followed up by Senator Sparks, if I remember correctly. We have recommended to the WCAC, by the way, before we even received a report from the legislative auditor, as Mr. Nobles knows, we made these recommendations way last summer, last fall anyway, after setting up a number of committees, stakeholders around the state that worked throughout last summer. Senator Scheid and Senator Sparks, so we are recommending to the WCAC that we pattern and we follow the union construction program. When I first became commissioner, and I looked how injured workers can get tossed around in the system between our department, between OAH, between settlement conferences and our dispute resolution, and folks not even know where they are. And it was page 55, I think, Mr. Chairman, is the one that you
That's what I looked at.
My direction to Assistant Commissioner Todd was to make this process more simple, make it more direct, make it more less litigious, by the way, less litigation, less lawyers, Senator Tomasoni, in the system, and work with OAH to do so. She has worked very, very closely with both Judge Krause and Judge Johnson, who are here. Together with OAH and the department, we have made recommendations to the WCAC to pattern and to pilot the union construction process, both in dispute resolution and to enhance and empower us to be able to use this process of the union construction program in other businesses other than just union construction, and allow the ability to that be able to be used in a pilot basis around the state to prove that this system that works very, very good for the union construction can be worked just as good for other businesses and for other occupations and professions as well. Again, we've made that recommendation. It will be up to the WCAC to come forward and to say yes or no. Senator Skoy, the modification factors that you referred to from your constituent, they're basically filed at the Department of Commerce. Not the DLI doesn't get involved with the
rates.
Insurance rates and the companies and the modification. That's done at the Department of Commerce. And I think you probably heard that modification factor will be with your business for 3 years, I think is what you probably heard, until it gets off of the system. Let's see. There was Senator Tomasoni, the ombudsman. In the process to ease for helping the injured worker throughout the system, we at DLI have also recommended an ombudsman be created. In fact, we did that in November or in the October meeting, even before we heard the legislative auditor report. By the way, that's why we want to use them to help us throughout this process. The ombudsman, very, very simply, I think, is needed. I think it would be helpful in the process, and my line that has been heard often at the WCAC, as Senator Gimsey will attest to, is that if we can have an ombudsman, folks, for those at our correctional facilities, which we do, now maybe not tactfully, maybe not politically correct, if I say we can have an ombudsman for bad guys, we can have an ombudsman for injured workers in the state. And Representative Tomasoni, we have recommended that already to the WCAC.
Mr. Chairman.
In addition, we are,
Senator Tomasoni.
Commissioner, okay, because in your letter you said use of an ombudsman, now I have my glasses on, in a manner that will not compromise our neutrality. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, but what do you mean by that? Because that's the idea of the ombudsman, isn't it?
I think the ombudsman, idea of the ombudsman, Mr. Chairman, Senator
yes.
Tomasoni, would be an advocate for the injured worker. The ombudsman would be an advocate for the injured worker, and the ombudsman, him or herself, would not necessarily then have to have the impartiality or the neutrality we do as a department in dealing with the two most important stakeholders. We would have the ombudsman for the injured working as an advocate, as a person to help the injured worker throughout the process, which can be too convoluted. It can be too...
Mr. Chairman, I think the auditor is recommending that the ombudsman be something outside of the department that helps the injured workers, correct?
I don't know that.
That would not necessarily report to us. Excuse me, but I will let... Can I let Senator Tomasoni, Ms. Todd, respond?
Ms. Todd.
Chair and Senator Tomasoni, I believe the recommendation in the report indicates, and I believe Deb highlighted the fact that there are a couple models that can be established for an ombudsman. That's a hard word to say. One has to do with if it's directly in the department, and they would report to someone outside of the department, outside of workers' compensation, so they could report directly to the commissioner, or else there are other models that have separate agencies. And so that's what we meant, or that's what the commission meant in that letter, is that it would be not within the workers' compensation division. It'd be within DLI, not within workers' comp.
And
but would be an advocate.
Right, and would be an advocate.
Well, the good news is we're recommending.
We're both groups are recommending that something be done here. So,
well, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, what you're saying to me is you want to do it the way that the auditor is recommending you to do it.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomasone, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that ombudsman, Senator Thomasone, would be a advocate for the injured worker to help that individual throughout the process. Right. In addition to that, Mr. Chairman, Senator Thomasone, one thing we can do at the department ourselves without a law change, without change that we would bring for you from the WCAC recommendations, Senator, we are going to be creating a very, very helpful DVD for injured workers. One of the recommendations of one of the four committees that we had worked throughout the summer was that to help and aid a injured worker throughout the process, that we create a very, very simple, easy to understand, easy to transport through the system DVD for an injured worker. And that is our plan. In fact, we have begun the process already of creating this DVD, of trying to figure out what type of costs would be involved and the creation of it. We hope to have that done by the first part of the summer.
Mr. Chairman?
No. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Last part of the summer?
Commissioner.
Commissioner,
get it done sooner so we don't have to cut your budget and you can't do it. So.
Okay. But Mr. Chairman, Senator Thompson, we'll do it quicker rather than later.
Yes.
But
okay.
I think the assistant commissioner is telling me it's probably going to take throughout the summer to get it complete and get it finished. So those were listening to the questions which you had anyway as you asked Mr. Nobles here at the desk. Our process is such, Mr. Chairman, that these recommendations that need legislative change, and we think many of them do, from the workers' comp collaborative we're going to set up, the pilot basis based upon the union construction program, the dispute resolution where we are in very good harmony with Judge Krause and OAH to make this process simpler, less litigious. The ombudsman changes will hopefully be brought forward and be at least agreed to in some degree by the WCAC that meets on Monday of this next week. And that's why, Mr. Chairman, we thank you very, very much for having this hearing, maybe even previous to that Monday hearing.
That's good. Then you
can you fund that? Relay the messages that you're hearing from us today. Senator Scott.
Thank you. Commissioner, if we're able to make progress on this changing the dispute resolution to this other model, what kind of time frame do you think that? Do you have any feel for how long that might take to move to that, I don't remember what it was called, union, whatever it was?
Union construction program.
Yeah, whatever it was. Yeah.
We were going to pattern after. Mr. Chairman, if you would allow me, I'd let Assistant Commissioner Todd respond.
Mr. Chair, Senator, in order to be able to streamline the dispute resolution process portion of it to match the nice page instead of the really squealy page, to be able to do that, we anticipate that we would want it in place by probably November or December of this year. We believe we could put everything in place and set up the system by that time.
And, Mr. Chair, if we're able to accomplish that, which sounds certainly like a worthwhile thing to be moving toward, that would relieve some of the pressures on the ombuds person.
I couldn't get that out.
I mean, wouldn't it though? If you move to this other system, I mean, you're going to have a lot easier, understandable process for people to be going through. Am I getting all of that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator, that is true. The ombudsperson would be able to still help to facilitate, though, the understanding of the system. Because I do think that even though it would be a more streamlined process, it is helpful for an individual to have someone who they can talk to ask general questions and to get some good general advice. Again, not legal advice, but just some general good idea of how the system is going to work and what it entails. Because even if we do go with the streamlined process and that's approved through the WCAC, it still isn't necessarily an easy process to go through, especially when you're an injured employee. You're not necessarily in a stage right now at that point in life that going through a complicated or even semi non-complicated system. It's easy to do.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could at this time just take a second, as Senator Scoy opened the door for me to compliment and to recognize Judge Johnson and Judge Krause from OAH, who have been working very, very, very well and very, very much in harmony with us at DLI to make this process easier to move through for the injured worker. And both judges, thank you, because I know
two good-looking guys over there in the corner there.
Mr. Chairman, the change is not without controversy. It's not without some confrontation and some price to be paid by a few folks.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Tomasoni.
Does the chairman want to hear from the judges, or
well, they're like doing a pretty good job right now? Right? Because did you want to say anything, or are you fine? You don't have to. Well, go ahead. Yeah, Mary, you took the time to stop by.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni. For the record, I'm Raymond Krause. I'm the Chief Administrative Law Judge for the State of Minnesota, head of the Office of Administrative Hearings. I did not plan to testify today. I don't have any prepared remarks, but I would like to compliment both the legislative auditor. They worked with us on this. They asked for our input, and we tried to be as helpful as we could in getting information on our piece of the dispute resolution part to them, and also to Commissioner Swigum and his staff. Early on in this process, the commissioner and I got together, and it was our view that it would not be as good of a solution if only Department of Labor did its piece, that since we have a large role to play in the dispute resolution process, it would make sense for us to be part of that as well. So we've been collaborating with the commissioner and his staff since then. And I think we have brought some proposals to the commissioner and to the Workers' Comp Advisory Council that will both streamline the process and save money for the Special Compensation Fund in a fairly significant way. So we thank the commissioner for his working with us. And I'm happy to answer any questions. As the commissioner said, it is not without some controversy and not without some pain and suffering on the way, and some of my judges aren't very happy with me, but it's the right thing to do.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Tomasoni.
Your Honor, I don't know how long you've been doing workers' compensation, but were there lawyers at one point in time within the department that actually helped the injured workers?
I believe there was. Mr. Chair, Senator Tomasoni, that goes way before my time, but I believe there were attorneys within the department that helped injured workers through the process, and perhaps Assistant Commissioner Todd could answer that better than I. Mm-hmm. Okay. It wasn't at OAH.
Mr. Chair, Senator, yes, there used to be attorneys that were employed by the Department of Labor and Industry who were specifically employed to help injured employees.
And we obviously don't have them anymore.
No, we do not.
Is that one of the reasons we need an ombudsman now? Is it?
Probably.
Probably.
Probably, that's probably. Fuller, you've been here since 1945. Would you tell us about these attorneys?
I think it was before 1945. I think in the 70s, I remember graduating from law school, and they were hiring folks. And they could hire either side. They could help either side. They could help employers or employees. But employers, I think, generally relied on the insurance council. So it was eliminated, I believe, in the late 70s, maybe early 80s.
Mr. Fuller, do you remember why? Was it just a cost thing, or was it?
I don't know firsthand. My sense was that there was some discomfort amongst the bar with this sort of business being in-house. That might have been part of it, but I don't have firsthand knowledge. That was the word on the street at the time.
Mr. Chairman, I think it had something to do with Governor Perpich, too, didn't it? Or something like
that. Could have, yeah. There's something. Yeah, I don't recollect. Okay, any... Well, it sounds like there's a understanding here and cooperation talked about, and we'll get some legislation in the next week or 10 days.
One quick
Senator
question,
Sparks.
Mr. Chair, for the commissioner, maybe if you would. First of all, I appreciate your willingness to look at the recommendations from the auditor, and like you said, Mr. Chair, hopefully you can have some of this become law. As far as the advocate for the injured worker, is that something, Commissioner, that you could fund within the department, or would you need additional dollars to do that?
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sparks, as I think Mr. Nobles referred to, it would be very nice to have it in statute, very nice to have it in law, as all other ombudsmen are. But, Mr. Chairman, Senator Sparks, should the WCAC fail to bring forward that as a recommendation, I suspect we could do something administratively, could we not? That or not?
You assess the fund, or what? I mean, it's not,
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I don't know the answer, so I'm seeking help. We don't have the money. Okay. Well, that kind of answers my question, then, Mr. Chairman.
Nobles, why are you on the edge of your chair? Is there you have to go to the bathroom? Just kidding.
Well, the commissioner may feel bound not to bring forth recommendations that are not approved by the council. I don't think that necessarily binds an individual legislator from putting forth either recommendations made from us or other good ideas and proceeding with those through the legislative process. So I heard talk of possibly wanting to get this drafted up possibly as a separate bill in and of itself.
I think we're going to, the consensus I get is we're going to do something in this area one way or another. I think I thought I heard Senator Sparks got the meaning of his question was, how is it paid for? How is this person paid for? Is that correct?
Yes,
I think that's the answer we were looking for, Mr. Nobles, and I don't know if you know that answer. Or can we assess the fund like we do all our other employees?
Mr. Chair, Senator, right now I think the question is that with our present funding level within the Workers' Compensation Division, are we able to afford an ombudsman without increasing our allocation? Is that correct?
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
And maybe based on that, right now, we are, I don't believe right now we would be able to do that without coming in with an additional amount of money from the fund that we need to have in order to have that position, because it would be an additional position beyond where we're presently staffed at.
But in the big picture in life, you've got a $1 billion business, and this is a $60,000-$70,000 position. Is it dropping the, does that make sense? Or not? I know it's money, but all right, that's enough.
Mr. Chairman, do you mind if I make one?
Yeah, you can
one
make that little one. Yeah.
Comment? A 10-second comment, members of the Senate, just so you know that we at the department completely support the process in the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council. We believe that the 6 members of labor and the 6 members of business will do the right thing in the best interest of the state. And as far as workers' comp changes are concerned, we stand behind that council and we'll look to their recommendations.
Okay. Sounds good. Any further questions? Very good. I thought it was a good hearing. With that, when do we meet again?
Monday.
We're hearing we meet Monday and we're going to start hearing a number of bills. So. All right, meeting's adjourned.